is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Clive Barker is our guest tonight. Clive is best known for creating Hellbound and Hellraiser and Pinhead and all that good stuff, and author of many, many books. Very prolific. Also an artist, which I wasn't aware of, actually. I don't know if we've ever really talked about that with Clive on the show.
Your kind of sculpting.
Right. Now, this is painting. I've got a big exhibition of the paintings for this new book, Aberrat, at the Pacific Design Center right now. We've got about 90 oil paintings up there for the next week or so. So I hope people get along to that. Maybe we'll get to talk about it.
Pacific Design Center is in West L.A. Used to call it the Blue Whale. I don't know if they still do.
I think they still call it the Blue Whale.
It's that's the place where you can get carpet for $400 a square yard, except for it's not a square yard. It's 36 by 32. You know, it's like they got to twist the knife just a little bit, and it comes in actual pieces that are that big, and you have to have it seamed together, and it's a disaster. Don't ever go shopping there.
Well, you can come and look at the exhibition for free, so that's the good part.
Are any of these paintings for sale?
No. This is purely an art exhibition, so people can see the paintings in the book as they look in reality. What the largest is 27 feet by 9.5 feet. So
is that this one?
No, it's the big one of all the islands.
Oh, yeah.
Picture of all the islands. And so it's kind of fun to look at the pictures, you know.
How long have you been working on
flash?
This
is about 5 years of my life.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you did all the paintings.
I did.
And they're oil?
They're oil on canvas. And that's kind of, again, why it's fun to look at them, to get a chance to look at the book, but also to look at them on the canvas, because I don't think a lot of people go to oil exhibitions.
Did you write the story first and the pictures to go with it?
No, weirdly enough, I painted the pictures and then wrote the story after.
Wow.
Which is sort of fun. I've made about 390 paintings now, and there's going to be four books in the sequence eventually. This is the first of them.
Jesus Christ. What's up with you creative guys?
It's a need. It's a profound
Adam
need.
Adam wants to take a nap just listening to this.
Don't you guys have TiVo?
What is TiVo?
What
is TiVo?
And his career, Adam. Don't tell him.
What?
What's TiVo?
I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. Look at you. He's locked in his dungeon like a Phantom of the Opera, just painting away with opera music blaring in the background. You need to be up. You need to be in front of the TiVo. The TiVo's a magical box. More magical than this Aberrat land you speak of. It's all contained in a box, and it records all the TV shows you tell it to record, and you can fast forward through the commercials, unless they're Burger King commercials with a talking menu board.
Boring.
In which case, you'd want to watch those because they're very clever, and it's beautiful. It's utopia on top of your TV set.
But then you're stuck with a bunch of TV shows to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Is that good? Is that good?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's better than
Let me tell you what works. Let me tell you how it works then. Then, if you drink while you're watching the shows at your TiVo like I do, you can't even remember how they turned out, so you can enjoy them in reruns. It's great. You people go to movies and stuff, drink, get high, go watch the movie, and then it'll come on again on cable like 18 months later. You'll enjoy it thoroughly. This is my plan for life.
Okay.
So you sit now. Last time we spoke to Clive, he was telling us that he had a palatial estate that he just sat and worked at. You work there, you live there. Do you have to leave? You just go out and send a guy down the hill to buy canvases and bring them back up?
I go buy canvases and paint and go on tour for books and take vacations, that kind of thing. But most of the time I'm there writing and painting.
And what would your schedule be? What would a normal Clive Barker painting, writing day be?
Well, I write during the day and then I paint in the evenings.
So you get up at what time?
Depends how late I work, but I won't be at my desk before 9 o'clock.
And
then work until 1 o'clock and then eat and have a siesta.
Yeah, siesta.
Siesta's good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then around 2:30 back to the desk until maybe 5:30 or 6.
Uh-huh.
Work out.
Uh-huh.
paint.
See, that's my schedule. If you replace work, paint, and work out with beat off, nap, and beat off,
and watch TV.
Oh, and TiVo.
TiVo, yeah.
TiVo. And then siesta, though.
Yeah, that stays where it is.
Well, yeah, that stays. That stays. That's what we build off of. That's our common ground. All right. And again, you need a houseboy over there?
No, we're doing just fine, thank you. Thanks for the offer.
No, I think I put it out there before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm handy.
I'm afraid I'd simply find you in the hammock fast asleep or beaten off.
Yeah, that's true, but that's the hammock is a mesh, and it should be all right.
It's true. You're probably more likely to have found him beaten off than beating off. That's usually the state where he's found in.
That's true. All right, let's get to the phones and speak to Wes, who's 22. Wes?
Yo.
What's up?
How are you?
Good.
Clive Barker. Wow, that's really cool. You're awesome, by the way.
Thank you, man. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Good.
I'm calling about, I've been dating this girl for about 6 months or so, and about last month, before, like, we, you know, she comes over, we watch movies or whatever, and, you know, before, like, you know, we're about to get down, she'll have me take a really, really cold shower, and, like, really, like, just, you know, stay in the shower for, like, 10, 15 minutes or something, get really cold, and lay down in the bed. And then, like, just have me, like, not talk and just lay still and, like, not do anything. You know what I mean?
No, we don't get it.
Like, totally just, like, you know, uses me or whatever. And,
I mean, does things to you sexually, but you don't get to respond?
Yeah, I don't, like, touch or nothing. And it's like, I don't know, man. It's like,
you're like a dead body or something.
Adam, it's your dream girl.
Yeah. Oh, and she makes you cold like a corpse.
Like a corpse.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's really. Yeah, I did.
No, like, she doesn't let you talk, or she tell you to close your eyes, or
no,
put pennies over your eyes, or something.
No, I mean, like, you know, she just says lay there and just, like, really not move or do anything.
Right. All right. Well,
what,
sure.
What were you guys saying?
Marry her. What's that?
What were you guys saying? Like, why? What is this? Like, I mean, is it like a dominance thing or something?
No, I don't know. Maybe she likes control. Maybe she thinks you like it. Do you like it?
It's, you know, I mean, like, I'm, you know, we've been dating for 6 months. I'm willing, you know, to be nice and try stuff, you know.
Do you like it?
No, it's kind of weird, man.
All right, well, tell her it's weird. Tell her you don't like it.
Yeah, all right.
All right, listen, I didn't get the feeling that Wes really wanted the answer to the question.
It was either bogus, it's like a story he'd heard about someone else.
It is a story that's going around.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it's a story that's going around. I've seen a number of places. I'm not saying that Wes
doesn't
have it happening in his life. Maybe Wes does have it happening in his life.
No,
Wes is
full of crap.
He was telling something. It was.
Well, but I've...
You've heard it?
I've heard, it's come to me as a kind of urban legend several times. Oh, this girl wants me to. I can't take my breathing down to a low limit. And
what? Is there an end to it?
Anything. I don't know. Either you come or you go. I don't know.
I know, but I mean, it usually urban legends end up with the guy in the tub with the liver missing.
Right,
you know
right.
What I mean?
No, all I've heard is that this is some kind of. This is, you know, there used to be that gerbil story. The gerbil story went around for a while.
True.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know.
Right. But here, yes. Okay.
My friend Steve's brother
That's the way I've heard this.
Who was in the emergency room.
Okay.
When?
Clive is right because this guy was telling this story, and it's funny you said it. Yeah. You tapped into it, Drew. Yeah. He was saying it like he'd heard it somewhere, but it wasn't happening to him
because
he had no feeling attached to it whatsoever.
Right.
But look, here's the deal. We talk to a lot of people about their sexual behaviors. Yeah. That's not one that comes up.
Regularly.
Never.
And you know
never
what?
Heard it.
That's not something someone... That's something someone's dreamt of. It's
well,
not
also, isn't there a practical issue? When you've been in the shower for 10 minutes, you're not aroused.
It's cold. First of all, necrophiliacs, not females.
That's the word.
Yeah, not females.
No.
Not females.
They're men.
Oh,
okay.
And they're men who usually were abused themselves and usually taking that out on younger people very often. That's some abduction stuff you hear about.
Right.
It's not the way it works.
Okay. The gerbil I put in my ass is acting strangely.
Again?
Oh, Ian. Please. Anderson said he wanted to mic him up this year.
Stop.
Ian.
Yeah.
You're 24. You're on with Clive Barker.
Yes, indeed. I wanted to know where Clive gets his inspiration from.
In lots of places. I keep a dream journal beside my bed and actually beside my hammock where I take my siestas. And I get a lot of ideas out of dreams. I get a lot of ideas from simply talking with people. Everybody's got, you know, whack stuff going on in their lives and in their families. I think one of the great things about doing what I do is it sort of frees people up to sort of talk about the stranger parts of their lives. Mm-hmm. If they say, oh, you're Clive Barker, oh, yeah, so, you know, Clive isn't going to be shocked or surprised if I come up with something really odd about myself.
I think Clive and I ought to go out in public.
Yeah.
People come up to me with weird stuff, too.
I bet you have the same thing, too, right?
But the combination of the weird stuff that Clive gets and the weird stuff I get would be insurmountable.
Yeah, between the two of you, you have all bases covered in the weird stuff category.
So no drugs or bukkake or anything?
No. What does bukkake mean?
I'll let Adam explain that.
What is it?
All right.
What is bukkake?
Oh, I think Anderson hit the nail on the head there.
What is it?
This is a style of movie where it's more than one gent with one gal, and they all finish up simultaneously about the same place.
Okay.
I'm trying to make sense of that.
Really, Drew? Can't
diagrams
can't use
anybody.
Your imagination more
two,
than
two women
more
two men,
more more than one gent
two men
well it's I'm saying more than one, than one usually means four or five
okay
yeah I don't know or does it
more than one all right
I'd say two if it was two
well I thought you were talking about double penetration or something
no they finish up
you see the money.
That's right.
The money shots.
That's right. Okay. And it's all simultaneously. So
it's show me the money.
It's they turn her into a human s'more.
Minus the chocolate.
Yeah.
I see.
Okay.
Hey, I didn't invent it.
Good time.
You know what people do all the time? People go, this is what happens to me. They're like, what's a rim job? And I go, that's where you take it and you put your tongue in it. And then they look at me and they go, oh, my God. And I'm like, what? You asked me. It's like. It's like saying, like, Ted Bundy, what did he do? Well, he used to take pliers and kill 14. Oh, you sick pig! It's like, you just asked how this thing worked. I'm passing it along, that's all.
Oh, shit.
Ooh, was that the S word out of Clive?
Shoot.
Okay. Jim?
Yeah.
You're 32. What's up?
Hey, I want to let y'all know, Adam Drew, y'all the guys is the greatest.
Great, hey, Jim, thanks.
Hey, you know, I want y'all to know right out the chute, I'm not gay.
Mm-hmm. Well, we love the gays on this show.
Yeah, well, I'm not one of them.
Well, I remember last time you said that Clive got all upset. The gays.
The gays.
Yeah. Oh,
sometimes the gays.
We love gays.
Well, anyway, my question is
we love those gays.
Or not.
That's worse. We love those gays.
I went up.
That's better than the gays.
Them gays.
We love them gays. Jim, we love them gays.
Jim.
What's up?
What's up, Jim?
Hey, I just want to know if cross-dressing is cool or not. You know, I'm not...
is it cool or not?
I love women.
Mm-hmm.
I love the way they look. Mm-hmm. But I love the...
You're a case in point of clarifying one issue, and that is that the business of being aroused by wearing women's clothing and whatnot has nothing to do with sexual orientation.
Right.
I'm saying that's just you're heterosexual and you have this fetish. Do you have to do it in order to have arousal? Or are you just going to have a preference for it?
Well, you know, I had a wife, but she left over another guy. And it wasn't because of the sex, because the sex was great. But when I'm alone, I just prefer it that way.
Faggot better run. So when you're with a woman... You don't need to do this.
I have no reason to.
You don't feel like it. So it's when you're by yourself.
Right. Only when I'm by myself. Yeah.
So you don't need it to perform with a woman.
Right. Right.
Okay.
So it's a victimless crime. So go to it.
Yeah. What do you do? How big a guy are you?
Shop 6 foot. 180 pounds.
Do you got to shop at like the Lane Bryant? You know, the plus size.
Well, not really. I mean, just
a forgotten woman
left behind.
Do you buy your own stuff?
No. It's just clothes my wife left behind.
Oh, okay.
I like the feeling of the silk and And,
yeah.
Just the, I mean, not the panties, you know, but everything else, you know?
You doing okay otherwise? Your relationships are decent?
Yeah, I'm a little overprotective.
What does that mean?
Well, you know, I had a wife, and she had a guy friend, what I call my best friend, and there were several instances where, you know, she was saying she was somewhere, he was saying he was somewhere else, but then they were together.
That's not overprotective, though. That's
naive.
That's being right.
Yeah,
well, I mean, you thought something was going on, right?
Right, and I called her on it, and, well...
But it turns out you were right, though, right?
Yeah, I think so. And
all right. Well, look, the good news is she left behind some of her taffeta, and you can mince around the house in it.
It does mean there's a piece of you sort of tied up with this fetish. It's about those things get established as a result of overwhelming feelings early on in life that sort of need to be managed in some way. So you get a focus on these pieces of clothing and whatnot as a way of sort of retrieving something that is difficult for you to integrate otherwise.
I know. What does this doesn't... We've talked to a lot of guys who have this fetish.
Huh.
Doesn't seem to, like you said, doesn't seem to make them gay or bi or anything any more than the average guy. Maybe a little more.
No, it makes them more apt to have relationship stuff.
But more apt to have issues.
Yeah.
But just in general issues.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say? I mean, these things never can be just purely isolated to the confines of their own home.
Not that we've seen. However, this guy was about the closest to that I've ever heard.
Right.
And he, even in his case, it wasn't even something he did with sex. It was sort of a masturbatory ritual.
Right, sitting at home. Yeah. And, but it was interesting that he talked about it being his wife's clothes. I mean, he was very specific about it.
Well, yeah, I wonder, this is sort of retrieving lost connections.
Right.
And that's sort of what this is about.
Yeah. Hey, well, you know, hey, it takes all kinds. That's what I say.
We left that out of your menu.
My repertoire.
Yes.
Four or five things. It takes all kinds. That covers everything. And it's an adage I'd like to bring back into the American lexicon. Tony?
Yes.
You're 19?
Yes.
Any advice on how to get a 17-year-old girlfriend hotter during sex?
Yeah.
Do you have a 17-year-old girlfriend?
Yes.
What's wrong? She doesn't enjoy sex?
Well, I've only had it with her once. And, I mean, she seemed like she was enjoying it, but I don't think she had an orgasm.
She's 17. Very few would.
Oh. Yeah. So you think she's maybe just too young?
Possibly. I mean, have you been with other women and given them an orgasm?
No.
You haven't?
No.
Have you been with other women?
No.
What are you doing right now?
Huh?
What are you doing?
I'm driving.
Wow, what are you driving? What are you're like double clutching, you got an 18 speed?
You got the sandwich maker.
What's going on over there?
I'm driving a delivery car.
Roll the windows up, would you?
Yeah, it is up. They are up.
What are you driving, a Ford Fiesta?
No, Mazda Protege.
I knew it. Okay. What are you delivering?
Pizza.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, let me tell you. Wait, you call?
I love this image. It's a pizza guy going around talking about sex on the radio. I love that.
You call him from Texas?
Yes.
All right. You guys, are you not making that thick or medium crust pizza?
Is he making that special, son?
Thin crust, right?
Yeah.
Is it really thin crust?
No, not really.
Do me a favor. Just take one piece out of that and eat it and make no mention of it when you deliver it and just play stupid. No, better yet, eat one piece and separate all the other pieces by 1 inch around the perimeter and see if you can make it up. I'd love to do that and just claim I knew nothing of it.
How do you work in a pizza shop and not eat all the pizza?
I don't know. Tony, do you guys do good pizza? You do thin crust?
No, we do thin, we do deep, we do all kinds of things.
All right.
Have hot wings.
All right.
This is a pizza hut.
All right, so, Tony.
Yeah.
All right, so she may not be able to have an orgasm. The harder you try, the more it's just going to kind of irritate her.
However, if you get a nice, stable relationship going and communicate openly with her and ask, you know, her what makes her happy, what she would like,
right,
you're more likely to get where it is you're looking to go.
And you give her a little oral sex.
Or not just a little.
You'll be fine. Yeah, more than a little. All right?
All right, then.
All right, good.
You guys are great.
Good times. Hey, it takes all kinds.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Got it.
I want to hear the five again. Takes all times.
Clive, we've decided I can do a show without actually being here.
Just knock
with these
off
five adages.
Here they are. Yeah. Here they come.
What are you going to do?
That's
He's a big boy. That's why I make the big bucks.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you make the big bucks. Good times.
There you go.
Hey, it takes all kinds.
Six.
I think we could do it. Let's try this next call that way. You ready, Anderson? Okay, here we go. Clive Barker, our guest tonight. We'll talk to Jeff.
We can take a peek.
Who's 18.
All right. I'll wrap this up, too. All right, Jeff.
Hi.
What's going on?
Nothing much. Just grooving out the system of a down and lamenting my choice to lend my my copy of Taboo 2 to one of my friends.
That's why you make the big bucks.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Okay, my question is, I'm considering smoking some opium and some opium-laced joints and maybe doing some peyote.
Good times.
And also, I was wondering, where can you peg the addiction rate for cannabis at?
Where can I peg it? You either get it or you don't.
Well,
if you got it, you got it. That's it.
Like, as a percentage of people who smoke pot.
Oh,
it takes all kinds.
Does indeed. I'm just thinking Clive's getting angry with Adam, getting pissed off with Adam. Just listening to the drops of Adam's voice.
He's a big boy.
Yeah, he is indeed. But listen, it's probably, I'm going to guess 10%, something like that.
Okay, well, I heard 4.
What are you going
to
do?
Maybe. That's a hard number to come by. But it's, what difference does it make? You either got that or you don't. It's like asking what percentage of people that use alcohol become alcoholics. Like, yeah, not many, but those that get bad disease.
Okay, so what can I expect from, like, the peyote and the opium?
Are you a marijuana addict?
No.
So you don't think about pot all the time. It's something you do once a month or something.
It goes more in spurts.
Good times.
But when you do it, you think about it all the time.
Not all the time, no. Probably 2 or 3 times a week when I'm doing it, and when I'm not, like a couple months off.
And you take the months
off
because you're trying to stop using it?
No, I just don't go out and do anything.
You're just not interested in doing it.
Yeah.
You're not using anything else in the meantime? Alcohol?
Well, I did mushrooms once, and I didn't like it, so I'm not...
No, I mean, to get by with when you're not smoking the pot.
No.
All right. And is there... You do drink?
No, I don't drink.
Is there alcoholism in your family?
Yeah, both my parents.
He's a big boy.
All right, so you...
That's why I don't drink.
Yeah, but it's only alcoholics that get marijuana addiction. And if you have this gene and you smoke opium, you're going to like that a lot.
Say that again.
It's pretty much only people with the genetics. I mean, you don't get addiction unless you inherit it.
Okay.
And that the most common form in our culture of that gene is alcoholism.
Alcoholism.
And if you don't have the gene, you don't get it. About 90% of marijuana addicts have the family history of alcoholism there. Huh. And the kids go, I can't touch alcohol, but this natural herb is good
got
for
it,
me. And then they get going with it. But the opium is going to send you. You will like opium a lot. It'll become a constant preoccupation. It probably, there's some evidence that actually changes the structure of the reward apparatus in your brain and will give you a constant feeling of emptiness and drive and irritability and a searching, a seeking in the environment for some way of, again, satiating that desire.
What are you going to do?
And then you're not going to smoke the opium, I hope. That'd be a huge mistake.
No, I don't think I'm going to do it more than 1 or 2 times.
Good times.
Didn't I just say 1 time's all you need to trigger that?
I know, but I have the willpower to stop.
Yeah, but that's the thing about addiction. It has nothing to do with will. It's early on, you can use, like every alcoholic, early on they use their will to decide how they're going to have a relationship with substance. But the reality is, it's a progressive illness that always progresses and eventually overwhelms the will. It's a disorder of willpower. You can't, if you can stop using a drug, go ahead and stop. But the fact is, once you become addicted, you can no longer use those sorts of mechanisms. They don't operate in your brain anymore. Or at least they can't. They're overwhelmed by these other processes.
Okay.
So there you go.
Okay.
Good times.
A commercial, yeah?
No, I'm going to be, hey. Whoa.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do, Adam?
What are you going to do? I thought you were going to
commercial. We're going to commercial right now. We were just wrapping up as you walked in.
You know, I hate doctors.
I know you do. So, Clive Barker is our guest. Oh, hang on a second. Clive Barker is the guest. The book is...
Thank you.
I can't pronounce this.
The book is Aberrat.
Aberrat.
And I'm going to be signing at a few places.
Where?
I'm going to be signing tomorrow at Barnes & Noble and Grove Drive, and in Brentano's and Santa Monica Boulevard on Friday, and on Saturday at Dark Delicacies in Burbank. So I'm going to be, I think that's in the afternoon on Saturday.
If you didn't get those, we'll announce them later. And you can look at the paintings at the Pacific Design Center in the Blue Building?
In the big blue, well, It's San Vicente and Melrose. It's a huge building. You can't miss it. But there's 90 huge paintings
there. You have a television movie coming out, too.
Yeah, Saturday. Gosh, yes, it's a busy week. Saturday next, 26th, on Sci-Fi Channel, we have a movie called Saint Sinner, which my company made from a story of mine for Sci-Fi Channel, and it's pretty intense. I'm really pleased with the way it came out.
Oh, fantastic!
So it's a good time doing some stuff for kids and stuff which definitely isn't for kids.
Well, Adam, what do you think?
You're gonna have some quote.
Oh, come on, Adam! You can do better than that. All right, listen.
No.
Thank you. Clive Barker's our guest. We'll be back in just a second.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Aberrat's the name of the book. Clive Barker's the name of the author. There's also many, many paintings, 300 in this book. Maybe more than 300? 300 on display.
There's 100 on display, and there's about 400 painted, actually. And I'm going to sign Dr. Drew's book, but now I'm going to sign it to one of your lovely children, or to you.
You can sign it to all my kids if you want.
Okay, good. How many of them are there?
That's Douglas.
He's fertile, this guy.
Jordan. Paulina.
And Paulina.
Let me ask you this, Drew.
Yeah.
With the kids, this becomes a pain in the ass. It's like it's all or nothing for everything. When does that end?
What do you mean?
You can't sign a book. You can't do anything for one of them.
Oh, no, we do.
It's times three or it's nothing at all.
No, we do. We don't do that.
You just have one book. It's signed to all three of your kids.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah, but Drew, which is it?
Well, am I going to get three? No, I mean, if there was something that...
Is one of them like a reading or fantasy or Clive Barker?
I was thinking about having it assigned to Douglas, but nobody... I don't know who would get this one. You know what I mean? Someone, one of them might want it and then be all angry that...
Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Sign it to all of them.
But
that's what who signed it first now? Whose name's first?
Douglas is first.
All right. Well, Paulina's going to be mad.
Here's the deal, though, is that we let our kids have their talents and their passions, and we support them, and we don't try to make them all the same, or the whole fairness thing is kind of ridiculous.
If one of them doesn't want to go to college, then maybe that's not his thing, right?
No.
The rules suddenly change.
That's right.
No, there's certain things, there's certain requirements.
Yeah, he's got to learn how to think. He's got to have the man teach him how to think, man.
Unacceptable. Yeah, they're gonna have me and my and Susan's genes, so they can need a little help.
That's true. Oh, imagine Drew without college.
They're not gonna have the Corolla genes.
Oh, I spent an hour talking to my agent today about how much you owe me and all those meetings where I stood up. I was the only person standing up saying, "This is ridiculous. Let's go home. I can't believe we're here."
Have I ever not denied that or not supported you on that?
No, you haven't.
The moment I've been unsupportive.
But I would like you to. You should pick up the check every time we go to dinner for the rest of our lives. Just because of those declarations I made.
Fair enough.
All right, we'll never go out to eat again. George, I just sealed my fate. George, we're going to be
eating.
Next time we do a college date, we're going to be eating Lunchables in the parking lot after the gig.
Yeah.
I like Lunchables.
George, really?
Yeah.
I thought those were just retarded kids. I didn't know adults ate that.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you. That makes me feel really good.
Or super genius adults.
Thank you. There we go.
Quick
one.
George?
Should I just break in or wait, Adam?
Go for it, George. Go for it, George.
Yeah, break in.
Basically, I just wanted to know, I've been married for 7 years, had a very active sex life before I was married.
With her?
We were together for a year before we got married. Year to the day, we got married.
But hang on a second. Did he answer that question?
Mm-mm.
Were you very active with her or with other people?
Yes, with my wife.
How about with other people?
Yeah, very active with other people also.
All right.
Not at
the same time.
When I started dating my wife, the other people stopped, and it was just her.
Right.
But since I've been married, my sex drive has not dropped off at all. It has not waned, and hers has. And, I understand. We have two children, and after the first one, it started to come back, and then we had another one, and we had problems in that pregnancy, and it hasn't come back. But, I mean, my sex drive is... I guess you would say abnormally high, or I really need to get off, whether it's with myself or with her, at least once or twice a day.
Okay.
And I just wanted to know, I mean, where do you draw the line on, hey, I've got a problem with this?
You have a problem if you are unable to contain behaviors associated with it, and then those behaviors start having negative consequences, then there's a problem. If this is just your momentum, this is just your rhythm, then that's you. That's fine. The question I have, though, is how many times a week are you actually having sex?
once a month if on a good.
So that's quarter time a week?
Yeah.
About one quarter a week.
Oh, boy, that's not good. Is she on any medication?
No, well, we've talked over and over again about going to have her put on medication for depression, and she just keeps putting it off and putting it off and putting it off.
And is she angry at you at all when you press? Do you press?
It usually ends up in an argument.
Yeah. And is she on the birth control pill?
No.
Sometimes getting on hormones will help things after a second pregnancy like that.
Just balance her out?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of this is biological. So if you can sort of restore the normal biology, you get her sort of back. If she's depressed, that can be serious. I mean, think of the woman down in Texas that killed our kids because of a postpartum depression.
Yeah.
You don't know, screw around with that. I mean, you really almost have to take her, you know, say, honey, we're going out for lunch, take her to lunch, and then take her to an appointment. And just, that's it.
Really?
Well, you bring the Lunchable so she has somebody
Lunchable
eat
in the parking lot. Yeah.
Just
take
the Lunchable, make the appointment for her.
Right.
Yeah, because she could need to be balanced out. But
also, a depressed mom has a profound impact on the children.
Freaks the kids out.
Yeah, you get an Adam Carolla. That's where you end up.
That's right. You end up with a super genius.
Yeah, because we were at that point where
literal millionaire. Literally.
Quickly in love couple where they finish each other's sentences and that kind of crap.
Right.
And then we went through after our first child where we pretty much have a hard time going through a day without an argument.
Is she drinking?
No.
How does she get along with her dad? Does she have any intimacy issues?
Yeah, because she really got screwed over by her ex-fiancé.
Well, yeah, but what about her dad? Does she get along well with her dad?
She gets along well with dad. Mom's more of an issue.
Ooh.
About a month after we got married, Mom told Dad after 27 years, you know what, I don't love you anymore. I have no feelings for you. Get out.
No, that's we're not talking about that.
No, that ain't it. All right, George, tell her, look, if she loves the kids, she loves you, she loves her family, it's time to put a little work in.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay? Right. Gotta see the doctor. You're doing the right thing. Keep eating off. Okay?
You're gonna have to.
All right.
You got no choice.
No. You have to. What?
It's something you brought up that I think is kind of interesting is that women are, I understand it doesn't feel right to them and stuff, but they, you know, there's a point where they sort of have to be able to try for the behalf of the relationship.
Well, this is something I think we're coming around on as a society just a little bit. And it sounds horrible. I mean, I think here's what happened. We did this whole thing with women where we took advantage of them, we raped them, we made them do our, you know, barefoot and in the kitchen, all that for thousand years.
Yeah.
Not any of the Barkers, not Clive per se, but we, meaning the male gender, for millions of years.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, listen, I wasn't involved with slavery, but I still understand there's some punishment to be had for things that people did before you.
Right.
You know, this is the way it works, guy or not, or whether you did it or not. So this went on for a long time, and then it got into this sort of modern thinking of, listen, a woman does nothing, you know, sexually, especially if she doesn't want sex, no means no, and I don't care if she doesn't want sex for 1,000 years, no means no, you don't push her. But now it's kind of coming around, which is, listen, you're married, the guy has needs.
Well, more than that, it's like, if he didn't go to work every day, would you be irritable if he didn't...
Right. I mean, certain commitment involving the relationship.
Investment, yeah.
Which is, this guy is agreeing to go to work, pay some bills, buy some groceries, pay the mortgage.
Not saying that he's necessarily the only one going to work, but... You know, if he's contributing in a way that
there may be days, and I'm not talking about every day of the week, but if a month goes by,
this gets in a messy argument really quickly.
But,
you know, this gets into the why am I giving you sex for you because you go to work?
Yeah, but it's not that. It's that somebody that when you're married, you are responsible for one another's emotional and physical well-being, and for nurturing one another. And part of that, and for a male, includes this.
And so would that would also surely take account of people being obliged to have sex if they didn't want it. I mean, that's also, I would think, one of the loving things that one partner would demand of another.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah, so it's It seems like it's very, very dodgy issue when you come in and you say, well, the guy goes out to work. Look.
Yeah, I wouldn't use the work part. Well, then you go back into that.
It slipped in really quickly there. And
well, forget the work.
Right. What if your kids didn't do homework? Wouldn't you be pissed off at them? Yes. You get angry. You tell your kids, yeah, you got to do the homework. What if they didn't do their responsibility. Remember,
the point is, the relationship is filled with things that maybe the one partner doesn't want to do, but he does it on behalf of the relationship and the other partner.
There is nothing so profound or so intimate or so powerful about the ownership of your own body, however.
Mm-hmm.
And I would argue that any analogy, homework, whatever else, is not going to play in this. You can't say doing of homework is like the idea that you are going to put another part of your put a piece of your body into my body. That's just,
you're right.
There's no analogy.
You're right.
You can't do that.
Give us one.
There isn't one. There is. What I'm saying is sex.
Interesting tack, though. trying to fool Clive into making our point for us.
I was hoping you'd actually come up with a great one.
No, but sex is unique unto itself, so special, so powerful in its.
I know, not after you've been married for 13 years and you cranked out a couple of kids and you have bad rust color carpet. I mean, come on, you get over it. Get over it. You've been married for a million years. You've boinked each other a thousand times. It's not that meaningful anymore.
So what are you saying about our
I am saying this does not make someone a prostitute or a sexual slave. Your body's a temple, but you fill it full of Lunchables, coffee, and orange soda every day. Get over it, is what I'm saying.
So she should just put up and put
I'm
out.
I'm saying she has a situation, whether it's a physical situation, a chemical situation, a hormonal situation, or an emotional situation, where she does not feel like doing this with this guy.
Yeah.
On the other hand, this guy requires this at least a minimal amount of time, once, twice a month, something like that. I'm saying she needs to get past what her situation is and give it up for this guy, just like he gets past certain things and gives it up for her for the relationship. He's going to leave. I mean, she will ruin the relationship.
He subjugates his need for this kind of nurturance for long, long periods of time. She needs to compensate by providing that kind.
Yeah, or if get the help that she's going to require in order to want to do this, because it's not a normal part of a relationship not having
sex. It's a hard thing to talk about.
Long periods of time. I don't think it's that weird.
Well, you know what? Where it got weird is once you get to the rust colored carpet.
Yeah.
Once you get into the details of somebody's life, people being married for many years. What does that act then become? Are you basically saying, okay, look, they've been married for 13 years, they've bonged forever, there's no magic left in it now, so what we can do is just basically treat it as a sort of, wham, bam, thank you, and we shouldn't be disturbed by that? Is that...
No.
That doesn't sound right, does it?
It's not great, it's just realistic. That's the way the world is.
Well, idealism isn't dead in the water yet. I mean, there's a reason why we have values about... We surround sex with a bunch of values, specialized values, about the fact that, yes means yes, no means no.
Right.
And the people are
What if your partner just said no... I want you to continue doing your thing, providing, doing whatever you got to do, just no more sex.
I wouldn't be very happy.
I know, and then you'd be angry at them
I understand, but what I'm saying, the answer isn't just get over it, girl.
No, the answer is yeah. Well, part of it is
part of it is
do what you got to do to get over it. You got to go to the shrink. You got to go to the doctor. But you got to do what you got to do.
Shrink.
The other part is. Hold still, let him do his thing for 10 minutes once a month, and you'll be doing your part for the family.
Face the pillow and think of England.
That's right. Yeah, all right. Or lay on your back and bite on the pillow like I do. Just all right, let's take a little break.
Lie on his back and bite on the pillow?
No, she.
Oh, she bites on the pillow.
Right. Right.
She's just covering her face.
Right. All right. Clive Barker here. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Everybody, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Bam, Steve-O, and Chris, what was that last name? Pontius? From Jackass coming in here tomorrow night. I guess the new movie is being released probably this weekend, and we'll talk to the guys from the movie. Well, except for Johnny Knoxville. He's too big. Clive Barker, our guest tonight. Clive has a new book out, Aberrat, and it is a substantial piece of work, as Drew is known to say. This is no pamphlet. This is got to be 408 pages.
Lots of illustration. That's the point. Lots of color pictures.
Right.
This is a book I've been wanting to make for a long time, a book for kids and for adults that would have all my paintings and all the text in at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's been just a joy to do, joy to paint. I think Drew's gone silent over there.
Probably good.
Oh.
Probably best.
It's been a real pleasure to put together the book, and I'm going to do three others as sequels. I'm going to do a quartet of Aberrat books.
Jesus Christ.
What do you...
How many pages you write a day?
Write about 2,000 words a day. Mm-hmm. And then I read...
Different words?
I use the word "the" several times.
Mm-hmm. So you admit using the same word more than once.
Often done
that. And you don't deduct that from your 2,000 total?
Maybe I should.
Interesting.
That's basically a cheat, isn't it?
I didn't say cheat, but I just find it... I find it interesting that you claim to write 2,000 words
a day. But they're not different words.
But yet freely admit that many of them are the same.
Are the same.
Interesting. And out of the stuff you write, I mean, so you're so prolific. How much of that do you use actually makes the cut? Do you have any idea?
25% of what appears in the first draft makes the cut in the final book.
I see.
And that's optimistic, 20%.
And how many pages is 2,000 words a day?
It depends on how big my scroll is. I'm handwriting everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, and then you have somebody type it up for you?
Yeah. I do three drafts handwritten, and then it's typed up.
Interesting. Three drafts handwritten? That's kind of unheard of today, isn't it?
I think most people work on computers or typewriters, but I know a few people. Steve King still does his first draft, or used to his first draft on a typewriter, or a few other people still do it.
You do a first draft all the way through?
Yeah.
And then you do a rewrite?
Yeah.
And then another rewrite.
You're thinking I'm crazy, aren't you? Yes.
No, I'm trying to understand.
I do three handwritten
drafts. Is there anything about those drafts?
They're different from one another.
Radically different.
Hopefully improvements. I mean, you know, in the sense that you're going back over something, and the first time you write it, it's the first things that you can think. The second time you're trying to shape the dialogue, helping the characters. The third time you're doing it because you want the words to sound nice, you know.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully you're just making it better prose, better, more fun to read.
Right.
Making the jokes funnier and the scary bits scarier.
Hmm.
But it's an interesting business, because it's a crazy business. I mean, writing is a crazy business. Stay at home, you know, sit in an empty room.
Hit the hammock at siesta time.
Yeah, well, that's not so bad.
Sean?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
You're 35?
Yeah, a couple of quick things for my question. My wife's in labor. We're both listening to you. We love the show. And Adam, I called a couple of months ago with you and Jimmy. You guys helped name our son. Thanks a lot.
Really?
My wife was the last female to make the Mason jar call. Do you guys remember about 3-4 months ago?
Oh my God, that's right. we couldn't, but she claimed that there was no one there, no males behind her, right?
Well, we came up with it together.
Right? But she claimed there was no one there. It was all her. We knew it.
We always know there's a penis behind the prank call vagina.
And Drew, you should be where Dr. Phil is.
Oh, God bless you, Sean.
Yeah.
But anyway, Adam, what about the TiVo radio? I don't know if you're a radio guy as far as listening to it.
I have said that 100 times, that I wish there was a TiVo for radio. Because oftentimes I think I hear something. What was that? I want to go back and hear it again.
It looks like it's coming.
Is it?
I certainly wasn't the first to have the idea. You and I weren't. But it's, you know, you can look for it under a search engine on the internet, and it comes up, but
nobody's listening.
So it is coming.
Well, you haven't heard anything, I thought, since you're in the industry.
I'm in the industry. I don't know what the hell's going on. Listen, thanks. I don't know if you had a question, but here's the deal. Everything I've learned from my talk radio, good and bad. And I believe you shouldn't just be listening to the voices you agree with, but you should listen to the voices you disagree with. It helps round you out. You already know what you agree with. That's easy enough.
Yeah.
Have someone try to persuade you differently. It's an interesting way to go through life. But talk radio is a great, great format. I wish more people were interested in it. I know a lot of people are, but I know a lot of people, especially younger people, that just they've never switched to AM their whole life. They don't listen to talk radio. It bothers me. It's a good way, especially if you're driving or you're at work or whatever. It's a nice way to learn something while you're earning a meager paycheck. And I wish more people would do that. I've always found it to be a great source of information my entire life, especially being a carpenter, sort of working alone and not having any company. It's like all of a sudden you got somebody who can talk to you, except for you can't talk to them. But I wish TiVo would come out with something. Maybe they will.
Geez, I was thinking if you could talk to them.
Scary.
Well, you would never hear anything from them.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It would all be you again.
That's right.
We got to take a break.
It's all me, Drew. All right, well, hold on a second. Let me just say to
Remember
Jim.
Remember what we talked about last night, though?
What? Jim? Oh, we talked about breaking on time last night, Anderson?
Yeah, and you said we would.
Yeah, but that was last night. That was a different me. All right, we're going to break on time. Jim?
Hello?
You're 14?
Yeah.
You want to know the pros and cons of circumcision?
Yeah.
All right, hold on a second. Clive Barker, our guest tonight, will get into young Jim's penis after this. Bloodline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Cast of Jackass is going to be in here tomorrow night. Clive Barker in here tonight. Aberrat's the name of the new book. It is a substantial piece of work, and it is very well illustrated as well. I don't even want to know if you call it illustrated. It's got a bunch of fantastic paintings in it that Clive did himself. Clive is also... Well, I don't know if he's going to be there, but certainly his art is going to be over at the...
Pacific Design Center.
Right, which I keep wanting to call the Blue Whale, and that's over there, right in West L.A. there, off of, what was that, Robertson?
San Vicente and Melrose, I think.
Right. Can't miss it.
And I'm going to do three signings, too, my last three public signings before I go back and write the next book.
That's at Barnes & Noble in Los Angeles on the 22nd. That's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow.
Brentano's on the 25th, and Dark Delicacies.
In the afternoon of Saturday, the 26th.
In Burbank. It says Sunday, the 27th.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You could be right still.
No, I'm sure you're right.
All right.
You're right. It's October 27th.
Look for Clive.
Look for Clive. Yes, sitting in a corner waiting for his fans.
And signing.
On the wrong day.
Signing away. All right, let's talk to Jim, who's 14. Jim?
Yeah.
All right, so you're uncircumcised.
Yeah.
And you want to know the pros and the cons.
Yeah.
All right.
It hurts.
You mean... I don't think that's what
it's
question.
You mean doing it now? You're doing it now or doing it as a...
You mean it's just... The circumcised penis versus the uncircumcised penis?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you having the procedure done to you?
No, I just want to know. I'm not... It's not like I planned anything.
Yeah, you're not thinking about it.
Jim.
Yeah. You're not entertaining the thought of having a circumcision.
No, I heard it's extremely painful.
All right, so you got that part.
Yeah, it's the part after the circumcision that's extremely painful, is it not?
Yeah. Yeah, not during the procedure.
Yeah, I think that confuses people. We were talking about this before. I think the fact that historically there's no anesthetic used in circumcisions makes people think that when they're 28 and they're getting a circumcision, they'll have to forego the anesthetic as well. They get the little, the Moyle's sleeve dipped in Manischewitz to suck on at age 28, and that'll be it. But you get anesthetic, you get the thing done, then they dip it in the tar.
I just had a very strange thought.
What?
The term Moyle is strangely descriptive of what they... Wouldn't it look like a Moyle?
Wouldn't you call the part that they... The
prepuce?
They call it a Moyle? I don't know. I think you're getting high. True. Hey, Jim?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if you're uncircumcised, you gotta do a little maintenance. It's like owning a convertible. You get some perks, but you can't park it under a tree with the top down when it's raining and stuff like that. You gotta keep things oiled up. You can put a little armor all on it every once in a while. It's a little maintenance. More fun to drive, but a little maintenance. Okay?
Right.
You gotta keep it clean. You can pull that foreskin back every once
in
a while.
Get irritation. So far, there's no cases of penile cancer in a circumcised male, so theoretically some health advantage.
And none in ones that aren't circumcised either. Turns out there's no such thing as penile cancer.
No, there is. Pretty
no, but it's not. Yeah. It's not a factor. Drew likes to throw around these things to scare everybody. Jim.
Yeah.
You'll be fine. Just keep it clean.
Okay.
And take a shower, pull it back, give it a little loofah action, all right?
Right.
Yeah. All right. Good all times. Right. All right. Sorry for bothering you. Jim's a little pissed that we called him this late at home. All right, then. Listen, I've said this many times. I hate today's youth, Drew. I know I seem like the
many
wrong
times.
Guy to say that,
many
but
times.
I can't
Whoa,
stand
why,
these.
Why?
You know why? Because here's why I hate the youth of today. I think they've lost their sort of enthusiasm. I think they've been bombarded by instant gratification, by the internet, by, you know, 700 cable channels, by movies. If you watch movies today, I mean, you watch the movies we grew up watching, 20 minutes, 25 minutes went by, same two people still talking at a
same
cafe.
Set, right.
And it's an action movie.
Yeah, right,
it's just
right, right.
We haven't gotten to the action yet.
Right.
And when the action comes, it's going to come in the form of a car peeling out
right.
and hitting a mailbox.
Right, right.
Big whoop.
Right.
Kids today, now you know you're getting old with that kids today line, but they need something. They need it to happen. They need it to happen fast, and they need it to be something. And when you give them a sort of just legitimate answer that's fairly mundane, their answers, they're underwhelmed. They're like,
so what was Jim expecting then?
I think he was expecting the internet or cable, and he got
diagrams.
Nothing.
Diagrams.
He got nothing, and so he was underwhelmed by it. He was like, uh-huh.
But I'm giving you something here, Adam.
What's that true?
You see that?
Beat it. Male circumcision, penile, human papillomavirus virus infection, and cervical cancer in female partners.
See?
What is that true? You said penile cancer.
Male circumcision was associated with reduced risk of penile cancer.
Right,
also,
but reduced by what?
Inverse association between circumcision and the risk of cervical cancer was significant among women whose male partners engage in sexual practices known to increase. In other words, your being circumcised will reduce the risk of cervical cancer in your female partner.
Right, but by what percent? That's the point. Nothing.
16.
Nothing.
Of 292.
All right.
As opposed to 166 of 847.
All right. I have no idea what any of that means.
19% as opposed to 5%. So okay. A reduction of 75%.
No.
Yeah.
Drew, you know when this all comes out in the wash, it means nothing. Right?
No, it's pretty good stuff.
Well, like in Europe, is cervical cancer much higher than it is here where men aren't circumcised?
No, but they drink more wine.
Right. Drew has no comeback for that. Billy?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yep.
What's up?
Hi. How's it going?
Let me just say, this was done in, hold on a second, Spain.
Right.
The study was done in Spain.
Okay, they drank more wine while they were doing it.
Yeah, I said Europe, not Spain, idiot. Billy?
Yeah.
Europe's its own country, right, Billy?
I'm what?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Europe is a continent.
Oh, man.
Sorry about that.
Smart-ass kids with your internet. You're all geniuses. In your learning channels.
Yeah, I heard that episode with the girl, the horse. No!
Mm-hmm.
No!
What's up?
Hey.
Hey.
I have a girlfriend right now. We've been in a relationship for about 6.5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gotten pretty intimate. We've basically gone through all bases except for home.
Mm-hmm.
And we're both kind of comfortable talking about and thinking about wanting to go all the way, but we're not quite sure. And one thing that I wanted to do to kind of give myself a lot of security is to, one, make sure I add condoms, and two, make sure I add plan B. And I wanted to ask you guys what your thoughts are on those things.
Plan B is the emergency contraception in case the condom breaks.
Right, this the morning after pill.
Right.
Oh, okay.
That's a pretty good combo. It's not, you know, the best you could do. Your best would be...
what do you think the best would be?
Her on the pill.
Huh?
The best would be her on the pill.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. And that's a good point. But she's like, doesn't that make you gain a lot of weight?
Not necessarily.
No?
No.
No, not necessarily at all. I mean,
really?
For a lot of women, it clears their skin up. It's good for their skin.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I heard from my friend she gained about 20 pounds after starting to take it.
Some can. But she should quickly, you know, if she starts gaining weight, change the pill type.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different pills now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I also heard that it controls your period.
Oh, yeah. So. Is control the right word? It's more regulate.
Regulate and lessen the pain, I heard.
Can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of cons, but many more pros to the pill. But the plan B and the condom's not a bad idea either.
No, yeah. It's a pretty good combo.
Give me the pill, Skipper.
Right. So, I mean, you're all right there, Billy.
Yeah, I just wanted to... I don't want to go anywhere near doing anything.
I know.
Protected at all.
I don't worry about you. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from San Fernando Valley.
Where?
Reseda.
Reseda.
Of course.
All right.
Of course.
Very good.
Of course.
Plan C is a trip to Tijuana, by the way. All right.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
I don't want to tell you what Plan D is. It'll screw up your young world. But Plan B is good. You get that stuff. Now, where do you get that, Drew? You got to get that prescription.
Victory, Tampa.
Where? Victory in Tampa?
Victory Tampa Medical Center. I looked it up on the internet where I get instant gratification.
That's right.
You can call 1-800-NOT-TOO-LATE and they give a referral. You should be in many states that you can get it without a prescription.
Oh, God, please. Here's what I want the politicians to do, and I know Clive is going to agree with me on this, and I've floated this theory with Drew a few times. There's certain things I just know will be. Like, there's certain, like, to me, politicians need to look down the road. And in the 50s, when we're telling the blacks to ride in the back of the bus and giving them their own drinking fountain, somebody should have said, how long is this going to go on?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Where are we going to be in 50
We're going to keep this going for another 250 years? No, they're going to do it, so let's just do it, you know? And when it comes to gays in the military or even legalization of marijuana and that kind of stuff, whatever it is, like, just look down the road and go, it's going to be. So why don't I be the one historically who said, hey, fellas, let's get it going. Just like we look back on these politicians from years ago who said, let's do away with this or enough with that, or let's let women vote, which I still disagree with, but I understand they had to make do. These people get credit for this.
Oh, wait.
And a plan B.
Clinton,
yes.
Clinton tried a bunch of the things you just described and got shot down in flames, right?
Okay, but at least he can go down on record as saying, hey,
you say to the people of America and the nations of the world that I hate your ass. I swear to God I do.
Flint was on the show. Yeah, he was drunk that night.
Yeah.
No, at least he can historically go down saying, hey, don't look at me. I voted for it.
Yeah.
And I just, with stuff like Plan B, the emergency contraception, obviously this is something that's not dangerous. It's effective. It's used throughout the world. It's going to be completely legal without a prescription out here in just a number of years. Let's just get on. Let's just do it now.
What's
what I'm
saying. Is FDA holding it up?
It's a retarded religious right and a bunch of scared pussies and a bunch of stupid politicians who don't know what's going on. And they're so busy worried about getting reelected that they don't really look into the issues that their constituency is interested in. And, you know, I talked to Maxine Waters about it once, and she was like, she's like Aunt Esther from Sanford and Son. She didn't even know where she was. She never heard of it. She, you know, she gave me some BS politician line about, she's waiting for the data to come back in on it. And I said, what do you mean data to come back? It's been used in Europe for 30 years. What data? And she was she didn't know. That's the point.
Seems pretty cool, actually.
She didn't know and didn't care.
Right,
that's my point. And her constituency, out of most, could use this thing.
Right.
And she didn't know and didn't care because it didn't get her a vote, and who cares?
Right.
And that's how politicians are, and it bothers me that they're this way. And something like emergency contraception, it's easy, it's cheap, and all you hypocrite retards out there on the right wing who are so against abortion, here's your chance to get rid of your abortion. All your precious lives. Everyone's alive. You know, here it is. We can save it. They're not interested.
I've been chanting about this product for a long time, and we used to get very much attacked by the anti-abortion group because they didn't read the goddamn science.
Right.
And this pill operates by not allowing an egg to touch a sperm.
There is no baby.
Not an issue. The issue of implantation is really not an issue.
Right.
And once the science have come out, these people are suddenly magically quiet. Now they have nothing to say.
Well, it's scary.
They're not getting behind it, but they're not saying anything. They're also not apologizing for all the crap they gave us.
Right. But they're hypocrite pussies who are scared and uneducated, and they're just idiots. I want an apology.
I don't think they're uneducated at all. I think that's what's frightening.
The religious right, they're reading the Bible. Of course they're retarded. They think the world's 2,000 years old. They think that the Ark is up on Mount Sarabachi. Idiots. They're retarded. They don't know anything about
science. What are we going to do?
Science?
Get off the desk. Get off the desk.
Please. Drive me nuts, these people. Just apologize, admit you're wrong, and let's get this pill out there so you can do away with your abortions. But they're not interested in doing away with abortions. They're interested in preaching and telling people what to do, and they don't like people having sex out of wedlock. That's their big beef, and they want people punished for having sex.
It's a pleasure.
Yes, they want them punished for pleasure. And the idea of a pill that you can take that makes your pleasure okay without any repercussions, right, they don't like at all. And they'll never admit that. They're only on the abortion. It's a life. You're taking human life. This is murder. That's what they stick with. The real reality is these people cannot get laid. They're freaked out about pleasure. And the idea of pleasure with no strings attached, no devil to pay, is unacceptable to them. And they won't work that angle. And that's why I'm calling them hypocrites. And they've just worked that angle. At least you know where they were coming from.
Speaking of pleasure, here's Dina.
Dina, you're 32.
Yes.
What's up?
I'm calling about the use of vibrators.
I'll see you in hell.
Not for pleasure, God forbid.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, I guess I started using one a few weeks ago, and I don't know what's going to happen if my husband finds it. I don't know if it's going to, offend him.
Why would it offend him?
Well,
why?
Because guys
maybe he
get
might feel
like
the reason
that.
Why I'm doing it is, because he's, not doing the job.
How big is the vibrator?
What kind of vibrator?
A big one.
Well,
where did that come
I have
from?
No idea.
What happened?
I don't know.
It's just
out there cracking his own ass off.
Yeah, this whole show is turning the Country Bear Jamboree.
Right,
we're just
going
to be animatronic Adam sitting here.
Jokes.
No, but seriously, that doesn't, hurt men's feelings or anything.
Well, no.
That's hard for me to imagine that it would.
No. I can imagine it.
Well, not if you said, here, let's incorporate this.
Yeah, let's play together.
No, but that's not what she's saying. She's saying, what if he finds it?
Well, but what I'm saying is maybe she should preempt that. Maybe.
Right.
Say, hey, here's something I picked up at the supermarket, hon.
Right.
It came free with Cheerios.
Right.
Let's play. All right, so maybe not the Cheerios line, but, just make it part of the fun of it. Why not? I mean, it's not like you bring another man into the bed. You just bring in bring a toy.
Okay, but the thing is that I kind of got,
a big one.
Caught doing that already, so.
With a man, you mean?
Yeah.
You mean we're cheating?
So that's why I feel that it was going to cause a problem, because then he's going to think that the reason why is...
Wait a second. Hold on.
Here.
You were caught with another man?
I wasn't caught. Actually, I was stupid. I was drunk, and I told him.
You told him that you were with another guy?
Mm-hmm.
That you had sex with another guy?
Yes.
Did he know the guy?
No.
How long ago was this?
Last year.
Why are you so pissed off at your husband?
I'm not pissed off at him.
Oh, yes. Adam. I just had to tell him.
Women can get drunk and do really stupid things, though.
Then they'll do anything not to be found out.
It was a lot of stress because the
stress?
Other person wanted a commitment.
Well, wait a second. So you were having a relationship with this other person.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so what's up with your husband? He's not paying attention to you?
Well, something like that. I mean, I was starting to feel like, a cabinet or a counter or a floor, just another object there.
She's not pissed off.
Not angry, though.
Yeah, not angry.
As long as you're not angry.
I'm not.
No, of course. Listen, here's what happens. Just quiet down. Here's what happens. Men do not pay attention to their women sometimes. They get married. They go on autopilot. Women remind them. Hey, what about this weekend? What about a little picnic? What about a little us time? The guy brushes him off a few times. Then she goes and cheats and then magically tells the guy.
Magically, she's sure to tell him.
She's sure to tell him.
It wasn't like that, okay?
You tell
it
him. Of course, you're angry. Treats you like a counter.
Like a cabinet.
No, first of all, it was for years he was like that, and I did everything for him. And I know you probably find that hard to believe, but I bent over backwards and practically did.
You're angry.
You're
resentful because
of that. I'm not angry.
You know what? Our callers are so goddamn stupid on this show. All they do is they make their point, which is sort of our point, and then when we reiterate it to them, they argue against it vehemently.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
It's like her whole thing is, I wasn't angry at him. I did everything for him. I bent over backwards for him, and he treated me like a cabinet. I wasn't angry. I wasn't
how
angry.
I'm bewildered. How dare you say I was angry? What is the anger in this?
This went on for years, and then I had a relationship with another guy, and then I told him about it, but I wasn't angry. Dina, of course you're angry. Of course you're resentful. You resented him. He didn't pay attention to you for years. You
in spite of
him.
What you did
well, you
to
know
for
what
him.
It was. It all started with me being fat, right? And after having our daughter, right. And then what happened was he basically told me the reason why he didn't want to have sex with me is because I was too fat, like if he was skinny or something. So as I started losing weight, I started being resentful towards him because that's when he started paying attention to me. And love isn't supposed to be about size.
Right,
especially
it's about
when
width.
Your ass is over 300 pounds, you should not be talking about somebody else.
His ass is over 300 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Just his ass, or is are you saying his entire being is?
The whole.
I
know,
see. Okay, because that'd be a huge man if only your ass.
Right.
He's over 300 pounds. He's called. I do love it when fat guys call chicks fat. Like a 370 pound guy will call a 165 pound chick fat.
That's, there you go.
That's I do love that. That's the beauty of being a guy.
It's like, who the hell are you thinking?
All right. But listen, screwball, you're 32 years old. You're acting like you're 16 and you're on Jerry Springer.
You're fat.
You have a kid, for Christ's sake, right?
Two, anyway.
Right, two kids. God. Don't screw them up, please. You're doing your best.
I'm doing that. Everything I do is like... You know,
this began with a humble little.
I know.
No,
she's
not
screwing up
that.
Her relationship. Yeah. You tell this guy you want to get into some counseling, and stop acting out.
I'm not acting out because I bought a piece of plastic. I'm acting.
I know you, but this is another excuse to irritate him.
It's not an excuse.
All right, then keep it hidden and make sure he doesn't find it. Can you do that?
Yeah, of course I could.
What's
do that.
What's he do?
I've
search
been doing that so far.
How long you been doing it?
Only like 3 weeks.
Good. I imagine magically you're going to get drunk and tell him about it in some point
I'm
and
not
anger him. Good. Then stop screwing your kids up with your crappy relationship. You hear me?
They never knew that there was.
Yeah, they know
they
everything.
Know, they know. We can feel it.
They
imagine
know everything.
They feel.
That's right. I got to take a shower now. All right, stop it. Just like your parents screwed you up, their crappy relationship. Stop it.
I didn't have one.
Get over it.
That's the point. Dad was in there.
Good. Now get over it. Get in some counseling or something, would you? You're gonna screw those kids up. I know it's it's a big joke to her. They don't know it's good. They never know. Believe me, they know. They know more than people. You know, kids are so intuitive. They feel vibrations. You can't even hide those. You know what I mean? We never fight in front of the kid. Oh, he doesn't know I'm screwing the neighbor. They know like a dog knows when there's an earthquake coming.
Right.
They know more than if they just heard the words.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happened to pets predicting earthquakes, by the way? Is that gone away?
We haven't had any earthquakes such one.
There's always some a-hole living in the desert that had some dog. Hey, Shaggy over there knows earthquakes, you know? And they're like, there'd be a little news story about
it. We've had too much to really talk about.
I'm just saying there was stuff that we almost accepted as fact. Like, yeah, animals know when the earth's going to shake. They know well in advance. No one knows it anymore.
They went out with the devil's triangle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clive, you got to write a book about the devil's triangle, man.
It's time.
It's going to get hot again.
Oh, no.
Clive Barker.
No. Hey, there's been some... made for TV movies.
Yeah, but it's retro.
It's ready.
Is it really?
And it's like bell bottoms.
Pitch it to me. Look, I'm the head of Fox. Come on, pitch it to me.
Okay. Listen.
Are the babes in it?
Hot chicks. Picture sailing vessels and compasses spinning around and waves and people not knowing north from south and right from left and up from
Fantasy
down.
Fantasy Island meets the perfect storm.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Are the monsters? Okay. Are the monsters?
Yeah, the monsters. The monsters will be there.
No,
and the Osbournes.
No. Hold on. Let me talk to my partner. Hey, you shut up.
No, it's perfect.
Listen.
You know these lemmings? They only understand the label.
Get these kids
I only want you here because you're a doctor and you're lending some cream to this thing. You're the face man, okay? Your job is to sit there and look pretty. Okay, let me do
Osbourne
the talking.
Osbournes is brilliant.
No, it's not going to work. Now shut up and look nice. Okay.
And listen, kids.
Yeah. So it's all about picture high seas, picture Blue Lagoon meets a perfect storm. I mean, this is going to be fantastic. And let me tell you something about the devil, man. He's gone. But you know what? He's poised for a big comeback. And so is his triangle.
So is his triangle.
Right. It's we lose shift. It's unexplained. We get Leonard Nimoy in on this one. Leonard's poised for a comeback too.
You could just do a little, a little walk on roll, right?
Oh yeah.
But I believe in the devil, all right.
Clive Barker.
You know why?
Why?
Because the prick keeps doing commercials.
What
the hell is that from?
Hey, yeah, this is high.
All right, we're going to take a break. Clive Barker, our guest tonight, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Clive Barker, our guest tonight. Aberrats, the name of the new book. It is a very substantial piece of work, and it is out as we speak. And you can find Clive doing some signings on Tuesday at the Barnes & Noble Los Angeles, on Friday at the Brentano's in Los Angeles, and on Sunday, the 27th, at Dark Delicacies in Burbank. All right, so go down there, bring your book, or buy it at one of these stores, and Clive will gladly sign it for you. So where are we, Drew? Let's speak to
Julian, who should be asleep, I would think. 14-year-old.
14-year-old, how long has she been on hold? 101 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Calling from Florida?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she got to be asleep.
He's
going to be asleep.
Ooh.
Julian.
Yeah.
Wow.
First of all, you guys, I love your show. You guys help so many people.
Thanks.
But my question is, I don't really have much of a social life and stuff, and I wanted to go to this concert that's coming to my town pretty soon.
Who is it?
It's Good Charlotte.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And
they were in here a couple weeks ago.
What? Yeah, I called then.
Good guys.
On the show. But anyways, my parents would never let me go because they're like all religious and stuff, and they just don't like rock music and that kind of stuff. So I want to like go with a friend, but I'd have to like lie to go and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if they ever found out, then they'd never like let me do anything or have a social life, and they'd just not ever trust me or anything. So I don't know if I should risk that or not.
I say risk it.
Well, yeah. No, don't lie to your parents. What about getting
in? Have so much fun.
First of all, aren't Good Charlotte sort of a Christian band?
Yeah, but they don't even like Christian rock, so.
Oh.
Yeah, but you don't have to tell them that part. You just tell them they're some nice Christian kids with aggressive piercings and tattoos.
And then couldn't you get an adult or something to sort of chaperone you, go with you, and make them happy and just go to the concert?
Well, yeah, I was just going to lie and go to a friend.
No, I don't lie. Don't lie.
Say that I was going to, like...
Lying, I can't think of...
What?
A situation where lying is a good thing.
Well, what if you have parents that are unreasonable?
He's 14. What's so unreasonable about wanting some supervision at rock?
What if it's 1942 and you're in a prisoner camp in Nazi Germany?
Yeah.
And one of the guard asks you if you're tunneling out.
Then you lie.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Exactly the same thing here.
I see.
Exactly.
I see.
Maybe worse. All right, but listen, it's true. Here's the thing. You could get screwed on this and lose your privileges, except for you don't really have any privileges,
yeah,
do you?
I never really get to get
Well, what's the lie going to be?
Well, my friend goes to, like, this youth group thing on a Friday night, so I could just say I want to go to her youth group
mm-hmm.
or something, and then we could just go to the concert.
You and her. Mm-hmm. And she's in on the lie, too, huh?
Yeah.
What about her parents?
Her parents would let her go, because they don't care.
I see. And what about a talk with your parents about being 14?
I've talked to them. They're so brainwashed. They'll never reason.
And what are they frightened of? What? Are there any issues that we should be hearing about? I mean,
they just think that the rock music is evil.
It's really about the music.
Yeah.
So it's really about Satan being in the music or something like that. Is that what it is?
It affects you and it's horrible and all this.
Got it. Okay. So that is unreasonable.
Right.
I don't know, that they're like crazy about so many stuff. I went to see a movie this weekend with my dad, and he just thought it was demonic.
What movie?
The Ring.
Oh, really? Was it scary?
Yeah, it was a great movie.
All right.
He just thought it was like, no, they're crazy.
Well, at least he went with you.
Yeah, why'd he go? What do you think it was about?
Because I wanted to go. Well, he knew what it was about, but he just thought it had some demonic stuff in it.
Well, maybe he's like, maybe he's kind of cool. Are you sure that some dad that wouldn't take you to the ring would not be open to the idea of at least talking about the idea of going to a rock concert? Are you so completely down on him that you really think there's no way to have a dialogue?
There's no way, because I talked to him about music like so
okay.
many times.
And it's really music is the problem, is it?
Yeah, that they've taught, that's like been their standard for so many years.
Here's, all right, listen, I say go for it. Try doing it with your friends. I don't know what to say. Parents are unreasonable. They're almost asking for this. The kid's obviously not as interested in the Word of God as they are. And the thing about the whole religious folks with the whole demonic this and that, is it okay to admit things exist? I mean, I guess what I'm saying is we're all... Drew, could you... you squeaking or what is that, Clive?
It's me. I think I'm squeaking. I'm sorry.
Sorry, that's all right. It's okay for you to do it. It's just not okay for Drew.
The guest is squeaking.
Here's the question. Drew, please put the book down now. Come on.
Great painting. I'm just enjoying them.
Is it... can't we admit that there are things out there that we don't agree with, but that we can still be exposed to without somehow converting us... ideologically into whatever it is their thing is.
When it comes to this stuff, it's so unreasonable. It's so irrational. The idea
that's what I'm saying.
And isn't it? It's almost like there's a synaptic gap gone. You know.
Well, it's sort of like a generalization. It's that there's some sense that kids shouldn't be exposed to certain things before a certain age because it might affect their brain development.
Right.
Like as the contrary opinion would be Bob Crane's son. Arguing that Bob Crane just had a hobby of pornography and shared it with him.
Bob Crane, Hogan from Hogan's Heroes, who was a sex addict and started filming all this.
And started showing his son stuff when he was sharing it with his son. The son was like 6, 7 years old. Extremely damaging.
He was like 4.
Yeah, extremely damaging to kids. Now there's the other extreme, which is where you know there's no sensibility about these things. And somewhere we almost need to sort of look into this scientifically and decide, you know, what
age is to cut
what
off.
What age shapes behavior and what kinds of things shape behavior and when are parents' sort of wishes and shaping of behavior sort of superseded by stimuli in the environment.
I got to believe that sitting around watching the evening news and hearing about the sniper striking again is
destructive to your...
More destructive than going and seeing a rock show.
Yeah, what I think is that it's just when you come to these particular kinds of prejudices that something in the arts particularly is gonna do you some harm. You know, you get people taking pictures off walls because they think they're gonna corrupt people, or taking movies off screens, or censoring books, whatever. It always seems to me that's when you've got a really unsettled culture. It seems to me we should have freedom to go. Experience these things. I don't know. That's why I was asking you, was there some other issue here? Is it a dangerous place to go and listen to this music? Apparently not. He was going to go listen to a concert in a safe environment with a friend.
Right.
So it seems to me the only part that's hard in all of this is I don't know that you should be able to say to a 14-year-old, go lie to your parents. I think hard piece of advice to give.
It is.
I've got a 14-year-old. I would not want somebody...
You do?
I got a 14-year-old. I would not want somebody... My husband and I have a 14-year-old. I would not want Nick to be told by a
radio host.
A shock jock. That,
how dare you? Sleaze merchant.
that she should lie to us.
I know, but I guess the question is at what point do you sort of assert yourself? And I mean, I'll go to an extreme to make a point. You know, what if your parents were racist, let's say, and was like 14 and you had a black friend at school and they didn't want you?
And that's so easy.
They're saying this is our belief. This is what we're telling you to do. And we forbid you from doing it. At what point do you assert yourself as an individual?
Well, I think you assert yourself where you see the moral right.
Okay.
And I don't see the moral right in lying to your parents because you want to see a rock concert.
All right. And it's a decent point, but there are all sorts of situations that are going to happen like that as this kid gets older, involving dating and involving and maybe involving race or having a gay friend
you're right.
Something like that.
Right.
At a certain point, you have to take a stand. And I agree that he's not Harriet Tubman here because he wants to go see the concert. But on the other hand, there's 14's kind of the. The cusp, because at 16, I'd say, oh, hell, do your thing. And at 12, it'd be like, just listen to your parents.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. He's got to flip his moral coin. James?
Yes?
You're 30.
You guys rock. I just want to get that out.
Thanks.
It's my goal in life, as soon as I become a more established actor, to be on your show.
All right.
I'd love to come down and hang out.
Hurry up.
Adam?
He needs to move.
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy, needs to be on your repertoire, dude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've written you into my screenplay.
Thank you.
Ace Rockola.
Thanks.
Anyways, I'll get to the point. Clive, 10 years ago, you made a movie called Nightbreed.
Yes, sir.
You left it open for a sequel.
I did.
Every time a new movie comes out and it's not the sequel, I get really disappointed. What's going on?
Well, one of these days we'll probably do it. We may end up doing it for television. In fact, I would love to make the sequel to that movie. It's just, gosh, there's a lot of things call me to books and movies and painting and stuff, and it's one of those things I haven't got around to yet.
Well, what about creatively doing sequels?
I have no problem with them. Some of my favorite movies are sequels. Bride of Frankenstein is a sequel, and Superior to Frankenstein. Godfather 2 is, in my opinion, better than Godfather 1.
Right, but yes, I understand.
Anderson
agrees.
Really agrees. Yeah.
And I agree with that, but I mean, creatively for you in terms of doing a sequel,
it's fun. If you can run with a pack of people that you've run with before, you've had fun with them as actors, as designers, it can be a real blast.
All right.
Be a real blast. I'm not defending Hellraiser 7, you know,
right.
Whatever. There comes a point when you should, say say goodnight,
right,
Gracie. But I think going back to the well and seeing if you can get some more stories out. I mean, one of the things we see from television now is, you don't say, well, why is there a third season of Sopranos?
Right.
You just assume those stories are there to be told.
Right.
And no reason why that shouldn't be true for cinematic characters, I think.
It's a good point. James, it's true. Nobody, people would be upset if they didn't do that on TV.
Yeah.
James?
Yes.
All right, buddy. You living in North Hollywood?
I'm living in the Hollywood.
This seat is warm for you, James,
I'd love to be down there.
When the moment is upon you.
All right.
Take care, man.
I'm going to remind you now that when you do become famous, not too famous. If you get too famous, you won't come on the show.
Right, of course.
But when you become a B/C celebrity, not Clive. We have all the top name name authors on the show. But when you become, don't get too big for this show. We'll catch you on the way up. All right.
Do I get to come down and hang out with you guys?
You can come down and hang out, and you'll be horribly disappointed.
I doubt it.
Here's the thing, though. Remind me that we had this conversation so that I can grunt and not look up from reading your bio. All right? Sure, that would happen, right?
Yes.
Clive Barker, our guest tonight. Well, there's a Genesis CD that I keep wanting to say.
Abacab,
I think, is the Genesis CD. Abarat's the name of the new book. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Clive Barker.
Hello.
Dear, dear, dear friend of the show, Clive is. Clive, always glad to see him on the show.
Always cause some trouble.
Abarat is the name of the new book, and it is, like I said, a very, very substantial piece of work. Drew's going to read it cover to cover, as you know.
I've been watching Drew looking at the pictures. It's been great. I've loved the smile on his face looking at the pictures.
Well, they're really well done. They really are very impressive.
You.
And we had no idea that you painted. I don't believe. Did you, Drew?
No, not at all. It's the kind of, some of the stuff I'm thinking to myself, this is the kind of painting I like to live around.
Yeah, well, please go to the exhibition at the Pacific Design Center and check them out.
Not selling any of these paintings.
Not until I finished all four books, and then I'll have a huge traveling exhibition for all four
Abarat books.
And then you'll sell
And then I'll have a huge online auction so that everybody around the world can get a chance.
Really?
Yeah. I have to... I want to make, you know... Lots of money? No, paintings don't do that. Paintings aren't about money.
Right.
But painting's really about just loving doing it. But I want to be sure that I have one exhibition where I can show everything together.
Right. All right. And like I said, if you get the book, you can take a look at quite a few of the paintings. 100?
Yeah, there's about, there's about 110 in the book, actually.
Right.
110.
Joey? Joey, you're 20 years old.
Hi there.
Hey.
How are you guys doing?
Good. What's
good,
up?
Good, thanks.
I'm in pain.
All right.
I was just having sex with my girlfriend about an hour ago or a little bit longer, and she was on top, and she was getting a little crazy, and she, and I slipped out, and she landed on it, and it hurts.
Serves you right.
It bent
me right.
Bent your penis?
Excuse me?
It bent your penis?
I guess.
Did it make a noise? A
no,
crack
it didn't
or anything?
Make a noise.
Is it, did it swell anywhere or turn purple or anything?
I think it's a little swollen. I put ice on it, and it still hurts.
Are you in a public place, man?
No, I'm outside.
Okay.
All right. Drew, what should he do? I don't feel like talking to Joey that much.
No, it doesn't sound like it really happened.
Well, maybe it did. It happens to a lot of guys.
Yeah, it's usually no big deal. It's just sort of a flesh wound, as it were. But you can actually tear the cavernous bodies within the penis that are what contain the blood when it swells up. And if they rip or tear, that's something that needs to be repaired surgically. So,
but you would know that.
Yeah, you'd probably have sort of a crooked erection if you had it, or would be able to have
a dog leg in it,
or be unable to have an erection. And if the pain is really bad, or if the swelling persists, then yeah, the urologist needs to look at it.
All right, let's talk to. My penis isn't long enough to bend, and I guess I should be thankful for that. It's
upon itself, you mean fully?
No, just bend it. Just bend it all. You know what I mean? Like if you could, you know, fishing pole bends.
Yeah.
But chapstick doesn't bend. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, got it.
If the chapstick were...
No, I got a picture.
Right.
No, really.
You got it?
No,
you got the chapstick?
I got the picture.
All right. Good. You didn't even have to close your eyes. Nicole?
Yeah?
You're 24?
Yes.
What's up?
I have a boyfriend who has stamina that I can't keep up with in bed.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning what?
Meaning,
He goes too long, right?
He goes far and long.
So is it a frequency issue or is it just duration?
Duration.
And how long?
I can withstand about maybe just over an hour of straight intercourse, no breaks. But apparently he can go more like 2 or 3 hours. That's normal.
What does he work?
I'm sorry?
And you can have sex for 1 hour with no breaks.
Possibly, I don't know.
Women don't have no idea of time.
It's probably 5 minutes.
I haven't been timing it.
No, I know. But listen, well, here's the point. It's long. It's long.
I mean, 3 hours, an hour even, is when do you go to work?
Okay, well, let's just say 2, because I don't know. I don't have any proof that this has actually been done with him before. So... If it's 2 hours, how do I keep up with something like that?
Well, is the issue that he's having difficulty ejaculating? Is he just having difficulty getting there?
No, that's not a problem at all. Everything functions wonderfully.
Okay.
What do you mean it's not a problem at all? If it takes him an hour, that's a problem.
I was going to say, if it's taking him an hour to get there,
no.
If you were to say to him, listen, we've only got 5 minutes, would he get off in 5 minutes? Could he get off in 5 minutes?
I don't think he would ever get off in 5 minutes. But during oral sex, I don't think it's longer than, you know, it's 20 minutes.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
You know, it's not like an insane amount of
time. Hold on a second.
20 minutes.
20 minutes of continuous oral sex.
That moment would be in the emergency room.
I don't have a combined 20 minutes logged on my penis.
No, of course not.
A combined 20
combined.
Minutes.
A lifetime.
Of 20 minutes. I'm trying to think. 15 seconds times 23.
Is it marked like an old tree?
No, I mark it like pilots mark hours in the captain's chair. You know what I mean? Hey, listen, Nicole?
Yeah?
Okay. You have no sense of time. That's clear. But now, listen.
No, I'm serious.
Well, Francis,
listen.
20 minutes oral sex, and you know.
How long do you think you've been on the phone with us?
4 days.
How long? Just how many minutes?
I've been on the phone since 10:30.
No, no. How long have you been on with us, talking to us? How many minutes?
Maybe 3-4 minutes.
All right. Two minutes.
2 minutes. So you're already, even in a short duration.
Please don't make this about my conception of time. Seriously,
all right.
I have a problem where...
All right, but here's the question. All right, shut up and listen to me. I don't know why you're annoying, but there's something annoying about you. Now, listen. Here's what Clive is... Okay, all right. Shut up. Now you're done. You're done. Just sit on hold for 77 minutes. Pop off. That's it. Look, here's what I was... Why was I annoyed at Nicole?
She's annoying.
I know, but I was equally annoying with her. But why was she annoying?
Probably, I would bet she was probably verbally abused by her father. And whenever they're like that, they always evoke that from
you. Oh, okay. But, Nicole?
Yes.
Did your father verbally abuse you?
No, Dr. Drew.
No.
What'd he do? Good man?
Raised me to be a strong, independent young woman. What?
He never hit you or anything?
No.
Never?
No.
Never yelled at you?
Well, fathers yell, but not excessive verbal abuse.
All right.
Because that's usually the situation is when you...
I always respond to that.
Yeah, Adam evokes that. Or it's evoked in Adam.
All right. But anyway, here's the deal, Nicole. Can he have an orgasm in a reasonable amount of time if he wants to during intercourse?
I believe so. He seems to have...
Okay. He can.
What?
You think he can?
Yeah.
Then tell him to.
He needs to do that.
Have you actually said to him... This is Clive. Have you actually ever said to him, look, I don't like this. It hurts. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, women somehow are afraid to tell guys
have
that.
You actually
tell him
ever
that.
Had that conversation with
tell him?
Him
what your, you your desirable
up.
Duration
Hold
is.
Hold on, Drew. Shut up. But let her answer. Go ahead, Nicole.
We have had the conversation, but I would love to have sex for an hour, you know?
All right, that's but you can't. You can't tolerate it.
But that's understandable. Listen, your body has tolerances. His does, too. What does he say when you say, I don't like this?
Well, he's understanding about it. It's not like he's forcing me to have sex for an extra hour and a half, you know, beyond. He's very sensitive, actually, about what is comfortable for me and what isn't.
So what it comes down, what it comes really down to is that you can't tolerate this and you just have to finish this show up quicker, man.
Right.
I mean, it's just going to happen, right? There's no middle ground. It's just got to. It's going to hurt you eventually, right?
I guess you're right. I was just trying to see if there was some way around it. That's all.
I think he's just gonna be the man.
I would love to dissect this further.
I would. I'd like
a
to get to the bottom of Nicole too. But here's the deal: tell him to finish up faster, and we'll be back. Hey, everybody! That's the show. Aberrant's the name of the book. It is Clive Barker's best work, I say. Drew, you practically read it the entire time we're doing the show.
Best cover, that's for sure.
Best cover and best illustrated.
Best artwork.
Thanks,
yeah.
Guy.
And it's thick with big words. Like I said, some being used more than once, like the and. But if you can get past that, I think you can really enjoy
another,
this book.
And another character named Candy.
Candy.
In his book.
Candy. I like Candy.
Clive Barker. Always a pleasure to see
always
Clive.
Always fun. I have my mind comes away from these conversations all twisted up.
Good. Good boy. So we'll see you soon, Clive, hopefully.
It's a date.
So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
I like Lunchables.
This has been Loveline. Opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.